Matt Hamilton here to tell you about my friends at Revive Restoration. Nobody plans for accidents to happen, but when they do, you can count on Revive to be professional, efficient, and detail-oriented as they make things right again. Revive Restoration. Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, my God, this guy's gonna swing on Jim.
He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN.
We're learning a lot about each other.
You know, when I tease, I like to deliver.
Hubba hubba.
Well, don't quote me on that.
Yeah, oh, no, it's quoted. That's safe.
Sometimes the tease is better than the delivery.
Wait, say that out loud again, because that is an amazing take.
Ryan, you can cut this. The Green Bay Packers have had a more difficult time. Wait.
No, start again.
How did
again.
I say
start
it last? Again. Okay, the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers have had an easier time
Green Bay,
Ryan.
Yes.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
Gotta love that every single time. Matt Hamilton, he's off curling. That means it's me, Jim Rutledge, alongside Molly Brown. The news of the day, Tony Bennett, part of the Bennett family, Wisconsin basketball royalty, I would say, when you account for Dick Bennett's run at the University of Wisconsin and Tony Bennett's play at UW-Green Bay, and then obviously what he did as a basketball coach at Virginia and Washington State, one of the best to do it in his era, has stepped aside. And I wanted to bring on Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, weekdays 5 to 9 here on ESPN Madison, because he is officially, unofficially, the Bennett family, I would say, documentarian, because Evan's belief and love for Dick Bennett, and that's a made-up word, don't worry about it, and if you guys are asking about it.
I think you meant documentarian.
Yeah, I know. It is truly unmatched. So, Evan, I wanted to bring you on to talk a little bit about what Dick Bennett and the Bennett family means to the state of Wisconsin basketball-wise, and your thoughts on Tony Bennett stepping aside.
Well, what am I, a documentarian? What
I don't know. I got,
documentarian.
I got in too deep, and I had to finish it.
He crossed,
you know,
documentarian with historian, I think, and just made him into one.
I made up a new title for Evan.
Wow.
It's fine.
Here. What an honor. A documentarian. I mean, one of the greats.
The greatest. The only.
The only documentarian anywhere. I think that the Bennett family, to me, how I look at it, would be the founding family of basketball, college basketball, in the state of Wisconsin. Because when you think about Dick Bennett and Jack Bennett, Dick's brother, who's a longtime coach, and Tony Bennett and Kathy Bennett, Tony's sister, Dick's daughter, I think what they have done really set the groundwork for, like, everything else that happened. And I understand people are listening to this and thinking about Al McGuire with Marquette and Rick Majerus, you know, with Marquette obviously on that staff, and so many great Marquette people. But for me, and obviously Coach Ryan, but, like, for me as a UW-Madison alum, I think the Wisconsin basketball team that went to the Final Four in 2000 is one of the most unlikely, illogical Final Four teams we have ever had. And when you think about all of the work that went into getting to that place, and Dick Bennett getting the job, and he probably should have gotten the job a lot earlier, just like Bo probably should have gotten the job a lot earlier, but the Bennett family and doing what Dick Bennett did in 2000, getting them to the Final Four, you know how many, do you know how many NBA games combined that Final Four team has?
Zero?
Two. Current assistant coach, Kirk Penny, played one game for the Clippers and one game for the Heat.
Wow.
Two. Okay? And Kirk Penny was found by Tony Bennett. And Tony Bennett was hired by Dick Bennett. And that Final Four team, I think, was so important because for a long period of time, from, you know, and they were good coaches, Stu Jackson, Stan Van Gundy, you know, name-wise, they weren't like that. The best years weren't at, you know, in Madison. But it felt improbable that Wisconsin basketball could be at that level. And Dick Bennett took this improbable group in 2000 to the Final Four. And then after that, obviously, you know, he hands it off to Brad Soderberg, and Tony Bennett and Dick Bennett ultimately go to Washington State. And while he's at Washington State, Tony Bennett, Klay Thompson was one of his players, amongst others. And then he gets the job at Virginia, and he's known as the guy that is you know, one that loses to a 16. And what does he do the next year? He wins a national championship. And all while this is going on, Bo Ryan obviously has a great run in Madison, and we grow to expect the Badger basketball team to be legit competitors for titles or Final Fours at least every single year. Obviously, Coach Garda, part of it as well. But, like, it all started with Dick Bennett, UWGB, all of the different things, Stephen's point, that he did over the course of time, and Tony Bennett carried it. And Tony Bennett, in many ways, was a better version of his dad. And that's saying a whole hell of a lot. I know that was a long answer, Jim, but I think it is that important to honor Tony Bennett today.
I have
no idea why he retired. I don't know, Molly. I have no idea. My assumption is he's done with this sport, and he wants to do exactly what his dad did, which was hand it off to the person he wants to hand it off to at a time where the university has no choice but to listen because it's too late for a search.
Yeah, Molly, before you ask Evan your question, November 30th, 2000, Dick Bennett, I just simply was drained. I just simply could not keep it up, and it began to bother me. I don't want to go out cynical. That was 57-year-old Dick Bennett stepping aside from the University of Wisconsin basketball program. November 30th is October 17th. Yeah.
Jim, November 30th. November 29th, they played in Milwaukee. The night before, I was at the game. They had an out-of-nowhere press conference where, and I was not a great student, like, in terms of, like, straight A's. You know, I was more of a B student.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, that day, I was still in college at this point, that next day, November 30th, I didn't go to a class I would normally go to. My guesstimation is because I was exhausted at that time from driving back late that night before. In my head, I want to say they played Maryland, maybe, at November 29th, 2000, at the Bradley Center at the time. And I just missed this class. And then you get an alert, like an emergency press conference at 11 a.m. or whatever it was. And I ran over to the Kohl Center, and I was at that press conference, and I couldn't believe it. Because they had just come off, months earlier, that improbable run to the Final Four. And then Tony, if people remember, stayed on, ultimately, with Bo Ryan. He was with Bo Ryan, I want to say, for 1 year, if I'm not mistaken, maybe more. But he actually was with Bo after his dad left or retired.
I think you just further solidified your title as documentarian, like legit.
Yeah.
I don't know how your brain can handle that much information and remember it in the exact timeline the way you just did. But, Evan, I'm curious, like, what does a move like this do to a program now? That this team is now left without a head coach. I mean, like you said, they're going to make moves. Obviously, they have to. But they're left without a head coach less than 3 weeks before the season kicks off.
Yeah. So, Molly, I'm not trying to be rude about, not to you, but rude about this to Virginia. Like, I don't care that much about the Virginia basketball program now that he's not there, right? And obviously, I'm sure, you know, one of my co-hosts, Chris Canty, is a Virginia grad. And, you know, he cares in a way that I would not. And, like, they were an adopted team because of the fact that Tony was there. I thought where you were going with that is, what does this mean for the Wisconsin basketball program? Because I am in no way, shape, or form ever going to try to run Coach Guard out or anything like that. That's not at all where my mind is going. But I did think, to be honest, that there was always going to be a shot that Tony would come back. Like, there was always that kind of hanging over, and every single time there was a coaching opening, of course you're thinking of Tony. Now, ironically, Brad Soderberg is on the staff at Virginia. The guy that Dick gave the job to, because he knew that if they opened up that search, Brad Soderberg likely at that time, Jim could probably find out this information, would not have been hired by Pat Richter.
Pat said that.
And I think,
yes.
And I think for a minute or two, correct me if I'm wrong, there may have been some iciness between Richter and the Bennetts simply because Richter's like, well, what, you know, you pulled one on me here. Because if you knew after the Final Four that was it, you know, you walk away and we just go to the Final Four, that kind of job available is going to attract some big names. And Dick Bennett, and I'm assuming Tony too, is as loyal, caring, and honest as could be, and wanted to make sure that one of the people alongside of them, blood, sweat, and tears, got the opportunity to get the job and prove themselves in a way that maybe they would not have otherwise.
To add to that, we're talking with Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, weekdays 5-9 here on ESPN Madison, and Pat Richter has been pretty clear that it really, I think the last time it came down between Dick Bennett and Bo Ryan when Dick Bennett got the job. So Bo Ryan was very much on Pat Richter's radar. So I think Dick Bennett was right to know that Soderberg probably did not have a real chance unless he did what he did. Evan, we did ask this question, which was, who is the greatest college basketball coach born in the state of Wisconsin? There's Tony Bennett, Shaka Smart, Bruce Weber, Rick Majerus, Greg Gard, Nate Oates all come to mind. I don't know if anyone else comes to mind for you, but actually a pretty impressive track record of college basketball coaching coming out of the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. Give me the list again.
Tony Bennett, Shaka Smart, Bruce Weber, Rick Majerus, Greg Gard, and Nate Oates are the names, the best names we came up with.
Where was Bo born?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's right. What am I wrong with me? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I've said everything I've just said about Tony, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony's the most accomplished. Tony is like all in the best for one basketball game. X's and O's, it's not close. Rick Majerus, by far, one of the most brilliant basketball minds that has ever lived.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of, like, Molly and Ryan, and I think some of our audience kind of forget or didn't know about the greatness of Rick Majerus.
I bet you Tony would say Rick Majerus, by the way.
Probably right.
I mean, that is a good list. Nate Oates is really good. A lot of people like, and that's the Alabama coach, for those who are unaware, which is probably everyone. He's really good. Also, the Iowa State coach, I think, is from Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. He's good, too.
T.J. Otzelberger? Yeah.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. The thing is, like, Tony just had, like, it all, I think. Like, he just had a little bit of everything. I'll tell you something. Tony, I'll get back to Oates in a second. Tony was my answer to a question. Anytime, this is before I had kids, so now that I have kids that play basketball, like, that was definitely my answer, and I'm not suggesting my kids are playing D1 basketball. But if anytime somebody said to me, all right, if you could send your kid to go play for one coach in America, I said, right, my son's, if he's good enough, well, he's going to Virginia. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's it, like Tony Bennett. Like, that's the one I'm going to send him to play for. If somehow my son was ever good enough to play D1 basketball, it was just going to be Tony Bennett, because I just knew what I was going to get. I knew the class. I knew the character. I know he was going to be defense first, discipline, academics. Like, look at the guys in the NBA that played for him. It's ridiculous. They're all guys that you would say, oh, I'd want that guy on my team. Klay Thompson, Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, it's just, there's a bunch of these guys that are just so damn good and so smart. But Oates, as a guy who's from Wisconsin, people, he was in the mix for Kentucky when Calipari left to go to Arkansas. Like, and he's a name that has been floated around NBA circles. So that is weird. What's our list? What's our list of football coaches?
That's a good one. Lance Leipold would be on that list for sure. Paul Chryst would be on that list. Those are two that come to mind immediately for the state of Wisconsin college basketball or college football
Rick
coaches.
Rick Neuheisel's from Madison.
That's a deep cut. Yes.
I looked it up. Dan Devine, also born in Wisconsin.
Notre Dame coach.
Okay.
Everyone knows him from Rudy. Honestly, that's the best way you're going to know who that is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I should have given Rick Neuheisel, coach, by the way, Washington, UCLA, and Colorado. And now he's the broadcaster on CBS and SiriusXM. But he was pretty good. But he was born in Madison. Told me an amazing story about one day about the – I mean, okay, I'm going to say this. Hopefully I don't get in trouble. He literally told me once on the air that his parents conceived him in a car in Madison, Wisconsin. I said, don't you think that was a little too much information? I said, That's what he told me.
Lucky by a billion.
Well, now we know so much more about Rick Neuheisel. I'll tell you that. Was there any other names, Ryan, that popped up?
So I was looking at it. There's not many other college football coaches who were born in the state of Wisconsin, but NFL coaches, Jim Caldwell was born in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Also, Curly Lambeau.
Yeah, he's from Janesville, I think. Isn't he from Janesville?
Beloit, I think. Or is it Janesville?
Beloit? Okay, sorry.
Same difference.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, Beloit, it says here on famousbirthdays.com. I trust it.
Lock it in.
Famousbirthdays.com? That's the website we're using for this?
Well, I looked up famous coaches born in the state of Wisconsin. I didn't know what other way to just research this.
Oh, my God.
Off the top.
I found the web. This website is ridiculous. It looks like a teenage girl's, like, dream.
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, pink with stars.
I'd be remiss that this is honestly the biggest, and I've joked with Evan about this. Frank Smith is the offensive coordinator, I believe, for the Dolphins. I apparently went to high school with him. We are 2 years apart. We played on the same football team, and I don't know who this man is, but he is from Cedarburg, Wisconsin.
Frank Smith.
I even texted some friends of mine, and they're like, yeah, my brother, who's closer to age, like, I loosely remember him. So Frank Smith went to Cedarburg very quietly, but now is viewed as a pretty good offensive mind in the NFL. More highly thought of last year than this year, but maybe a head coach someday in the NFL.
Yeah, Jim, who are you more obsessed with, Frank Smith or Ben Brust?
Oh, Frank Smith. I'm over Ben Brust.
Jim Rutledge, he's fake tough. Yeah.
Is he, though? I don't know.
You were brought on KBN to talk about, really, Ben's obsession with me. Because every time you're on, he asks, why is Jim obsessed with me? But that would present it more that he was obsessed with me.
Yeah, it was a little uncomfortable.
Are you talking to me or Molly?
No,
they
me.
Don't bring
Molly.
Me, on.
Me. They bring me on every Thursday for some crosstalk, which I appreciate. But they asked me the question of why is Jim so obsessed with Ben, and I don't know if I'm the right person to give that answer. Shouldn't it be Jim? Or do you think that they're too scared to talk to Jim?
Too scared or don't want to?
Both, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they know that Jim will put them in their place. Do you think
Jim's
he would?
Jim's been on the air for a long... Molly, Jim's been on the air for a long period of time, and there's never been any buzz about Jim being on the air. You're on the air on this show for less than a year, and everybody's talking about you. So they're you know what?
That's fair.
Smart. Bring in a performance enhancer, not a performance detractor.
That is true. That is true.
Jim's like the anti-steroids. It's like, hey, how are we gonna really like juice it up?
Yeah.
Well, Molly is like literally that.
Yeah, I tamp it down. You juice it up.
I'm glad I'm a PED. Yep,
I appreciate it. How about this? You are. Jim, I got an email today from someone who just emailed me to tell me how great Molly was.
That's
very nice. Why are you emailing me this information? But, I mean, yeah, so she's a big celebrity.
All right, you guys are making me blush, but I appreciate it. But Evan, we did kind of get into something, and I guess the way we got into it was from our past conversation of good coaches from the state of Wisconsin. But Greg Gard is from Cobb, Wisconsin. That is a town of, I believe, 409 people. A town, I don't know, village, unincorporated town, whatever you're going to call it. But
a place.
Yes. Jim and I got into a discussion of do they even have trash pickup? Have you ever had to drop off?
Like everyone has a dumpster? Like everyone has just one dumpster in the
like,
town kind of thing?
Yeah, like you take your garbage, I don't know if it's daily, weekly, what it is, you load it into your car and you bring it to the dump. Have you ever had to do anything like that considering you're from New York? I mean, I don't know if where you're from is like a city, but have you ever had to do anything even remotely close to this?
So like to take my I currently, my house is in the suburbs outside of New York City. So I live like an hour, let's call it, away from the city. So we have garbage men and women or whoever. I've never actually seen them because I'm never home during that time, that come and pick up the garbage, right? Mm-hmm. When I lived in New York City, in the hallway, there was like a garbage chute thing, and you just throw it down there. When I lived in Florida, you just like push the garbage out to the street, and the garbage people just come and pick it up, the sanitation department. No, so wait, what's the question now?
You literally take your garbage, and Jim has experience with this. I do not, but you take your garbage, you throw it in your car, and then you drop it off somewhere.
Yes. So have I ever done that? Yes, but here's why. It would be more so because like it doesn't fit in the garbage, or it's like something I don't want in my garbage, where I would go, Jim, do you remember where I used to live in Boynton?
Yes.
Did you ever come to my house?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So there was, if you remember, there was like a shopping center connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Publix right there.
Yeah.
So I'd go, I go into the shopping center with my garbage and look around and hope nobody was looking, and I throw it into the dumpster there. If or like bigger items, like it's not. I don't know that that's even legal.
Nope.
But I've done that many times.
They don't have like bulky pickup there. Is that not a
thing other than
in Wisconsin?
No, they do, but like. Molly, it was like attached to me. So like, why? I lived in like a townhouse development. Why wouldn't I just go over there and throw it in the garbage in the dumpster? I don't know.
So
what's the difference?
Because what Molly's describing is like when I grew up, like we lived a little bit out in the country. We had like they would not take your recycling. You had to take it and separate it and bring it to the recycling center on your own. They would only pick up your trash. And then other people have chimed in small towns are unincorporated. They do not pay anyone to pick up your trash and recycling. You have to find your own place to take the trash to.
So, wild.
So like that is a Wisconsin thing.
You know what that leads me to believe though, guys? There are people that probably just keep weeks worth of garbage
absolutely
in their garage.
Absolutely.
No, that is disgusting.
We had weeks worth of recycling
Molly,
in the garage.
Okay, recycling is different than trash.
Okay, what? I mean, think about it logically. It's like, oh, God, I got to go take out the garbage. Yeah, just throw it in the garage. It'll be fine.
I mean, fair, but like.
Honestly, I'm surprised. Like,
You're surprised where I live?
Yes.
You think I live in like the boonies.
Yes.
I don't live in the boonies.
Yes.
We're
boonie
still a town
adjacent
of like 16,000, 14,000.
Wait, I have
like
a question. I have a question for Molly, though, about where you live and everything like this. Because I thought I saw something on Twitter the other day that I have to bring.
Oh, I'm curious.
Correct? And I'm not trying to get personal.
Nope.
Your husband does not listen to your show?
Yeah, isn't that below? Well, but here's the thing. I was debating this with Talish yesterday. I don't know if I want him to listen because I've talked about like speeding tickets that I've gotten that he knows nothing about. He still knows nothing about. Yeah, he doesn't listen because he thinks that I'm like a Packers homer, which is so funny because I constantly get accused of not being a Packers homer. But then when I get home every day, it's like, oh, I saw this on the Kay Adams show. Oh, Devontae Adams was on the Kay Adams
That's
show. Did
my
you know this?
Part.
That's the part that ticks me off the most is that he's like throwing Kay Adams show in my face.
Well, she does a really good job, but
she's great. But like, I'm also jealous.
Your show is not on the same time as your show, and I don't. It's 2024. You can kind of get shows a lot of different ways at a lot of different times. So, wait, this is interesting. I thought you were going to say I don't want him to listen because, like, you're saying things like the speeding ticket that would be like personally revealing, right? Of like, oh, you know, I got a speeding ticket or I got into an argument with family member or whatever. He doesn't want to know that.
No.
He doesn't listen because he doesn't like your sports take.
I know, it's worse.
He doesn't like my sports take.
He doesn't like the content. That's amazing.
Exactly.
He's like, I know you. I pass.
Yeah, but here's the thing is I constantly, when he's at home, he always has on like YouTube of different like video streamers, whatever it is. And like the one he was listening to this morning, this guy is like a raging Minnesota Vikings homer, which is what my husband is. And it was like, like the guy was giving his predictions for games this weekend. He was like, oh, the Vikings are favored by, I don't know, 1.5. He's like, I'll take them at -14. They're going to win by 2 touchdowns. And I'm like, so you'll listen to this guy just inflate your homerism about the Minnesota Vikings. But yet I am being a realistic person about the Green Bay Packers, but you can't stand listening to that. So it drives me nuts. But also, I'm also not mad that he doesn't listen.
Like, is he proud of you that like, his wife has this kind of big time job, or he doesn't?
Oh, totally. Like, he's my biggest supporter. Not necessarily my biggest fan, I guess, if he doesn't listen to my show, but he's definitely
whoever
the
emailed Evan apparently is your biggest fan.
Exactly.
Wasn't your husband.
No, it wasn't my husband.
No,
so he is my biggest supporter, has motivated me to do it all. Just, he's like, I'm not going to listen because I don't want to hear your sports takes. I'm like, okay, we'll just fight about sports when I get home then. Which is what we pretty much fight about during this time of year. But like I said, I'm not mad that he doesn't listen to it because I haven't told him about my speeding ticket that I shouldn't have gotten. And he's not going to find out about it. So.
Yeah, or if people can find his Twitter or social media, they can now start reaching out to him and tell them that his wife got a speeding ticket.
I'll just say they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about.
Evan, thanks so much for the insight on the Bennett family. And we'll talk to you in a week or two.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, weekdays 5 to 9 here on ESPN Madison. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Also brought to you by J&K Security Solutions, securing homes and businesses in the Madison area since 1987.